I'm glad that you're here tonight, and I understand that your good pastor is teaching 2 Timothy, and I learned that this morning, so teaching that on Wednesday evenings. Thank you, brother. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
And so I have another study that I had put together, and I may save it for another time. Okay. And but most of the time, no two pastors do everything the same, and the Bible is so rich with God's truth, we could never exhaust it. Even if we study 2 Timothy or whatever the book might be every day. But I'd like for you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 18. And then I want to try to watch the clock, so I respect your time. And what time are you normally out here? 9 o'clock?
Yeah.
Give or take. Well, I learned a long time ago for me, and usually for most people, when you're long-winded, you lose everything. I mean, in the sense that, you know, nobody wants to come back because they're wore out. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I wish to read beginning at verse 6. For I am already poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I have with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Father, may your word go out and not return void, building up the saints, evangelizing the lost, and glorifying your name. In Christ we pray, amen. Is the author of 2 Timothy the same one that wrote 1 Timothy? Paul. All right, Paul the Apostle. And Paul was as much as an apostle as the others were. And Jesus is even called an apostle in the book of Hebrews. So that's a study in and of itself. And apostle, of course, generally the ordained office of apostle was one who had witnessed the resurrection of Jesus, among a few other things perhaps. But Paul here lists a number of people, and by no means is this an exhaustive list of people who were important in his life, and some for not so much for the good, and some for the good. And I think it's very good for us to think about the people that God has placed in our lives, and you being a people or a person in the lives that you are involved in towards someone else. But we meet many people throughout life. Do you meet more than 3 or 4 new people each month? I meet hundreds of people probably within a month, just all kinds of places, and then some places I volunteer at and different things. And you probably meet a lot more people than you realize, and maybe you only spend a second to say hello. But Paul met a lot of people. Of course, he did a lot of evangelism and a lot of missionary travels. He had 5 missionary trips that he took. The last one was to his death. Paul was on the verge of being martyred. You remember his fifth missionary journey, he was on his way to Jerusalem. Well, they took him there, and he was going to be, we don't know what, but probably beheaded. And then he begins to speak his farewell in verse 6 and 7, etc. And what a great statement, or statements plural, that he makes about his faithfulness to the Lord. And he expresses his hope in the Lord. And he remembers the people in his life. It's something about preparing for death, preparing to meet the Lord, preparing for the unexpected, that we have a tendency to go back in our memory and recall people who have affected our lives. I have read, maybe like you have, people who have come close to death. Something seems to unravel quickly in their mind, thinking of their family or their church or the people they haven't talked to or said I'm sorry to or I love you or whatever it might be. Well, let's look at some of these people. If you have a thought, then we've got some questions to ask. Now, I'm looking at my study sheet that's a little different than yours, and so I summarized your sheet for a purpose and to give you a chance to do your own thinking and your thoughts. But notice the first person that we mention is Demas. Makes you think of demon. Who had forsaken Paul? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, we see that. That here is one, Demas had forsaken me, having loved this present world, and he departed for Thessalonica. Is it easy to love the things in the world? It really is, and all of us can be bought at a price if we're not real careful. And what we're loyal to very often is our God, our little G-O-D. And all of us have idols, and we have to be real careful that we do not have idols and to put the Lord first. But when we go to serve the Lord, the devil always gives us a lot of reasons not to serve, not to obey. Turn with me in Matthew chapter 13. Some consider Matthew 13 a great chapter, and certainly it is. All of the chapters are great. But in Matthew 13, Jesus, I believe that's what we call the chapter with the seven parables. And in Matthew 13, I may have said 17, but Matthew 13, look at verse 7, when Jesus is talking about the parable of the soils. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. And then later he explains what that means. You know, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Well, in this same chapter, Matthew 13, look at verse 22. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the world, and he becomes, chokes the word, and he becomes unfruitful. The world draws us away from Christ. And we're not looking at a full study of the parable of the soils, but there were four different kinds of seeds that were planted, or the four different types of soils that the seeds were planted in. And the one here, the person was, their commitment to Christ was very limited because the world pulled on them, and the cares and the deceitfulness, Jesus says, and chokes the word, and the person becomes unfruitful. I believe he's talking about lost people. That's my conviction. The first three of these soils describes the lost people. The description of the seed that fell in the three types of soil, and the only one is genuine. And there are other good Christians who see it maybe a little bit different. But either way, Demas forsook Paul. It wasn't just, hey, I think I'll take a day off. He abandoned Paul. What he was actually doing was abandoning the faith. He was putting Jesus on the shelf and said, I've had enough of this. Endurance is one of the tests of true salvation. And I've tried through the years to help people to understand that salvation isn't complete until death or the Lord returns. And so we must be careful to boast in a salvation unless we're standing on solid ground, believing the Lord and believing His Word, and then the life matches the profession. And that's real important. Now, none of us are perfect. We all goof up every now and then. But if there's not a long trending toward the love of Christ and serving Him and identifying with the righteousness that He provided on the cross, something is wrong. And something was wrong in the life of Demas. And Paul wasn't bragging. He was saddened and hurt. But he was summing up some of the highlights of his life. And this was, I guess, a low light, if there is such a phrase, that someone that was close to him for a while and departed and abandoned him. But you know, this couldn't happen to us. That's why 1 John tells us in 1 John chapter 2, and I'll let you turn there. Now, of course, it can happen to us. Look at 1 John. Anybody know who wrote 1 John? The same one that wrote 2nd and 3rd John and the Gospel of John, Revelation. The Gospel of John, John the Apostle, John chapter 2, or 1 John chapter 2, we want to note that, beginning at verse 15. And look at the warning he gives believers in a time of suffering. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, and he who does the will of God abides forever. How many of you have an electric stove? A gas stove? When you turn it on, does it get hot on the burners? Now, if you had a small child or someone that didn't know, do you warn them, stay away from the stove, it's hot, it'll burn you? Yeah. You warn them, but you're really just joking, right? Because that stove can't burn, so you're just saying that to scare them, right? No, because there's a real danger. When the writers of the New Testament gave a warning, it wasn't to fill pages of the Bible or to say, well, this will make you get closer to Jesus or it'll scare you or this is just a hypothetical. This is a common interpretation, which most of the cases I highly reject. These are real, real warnings. And John the Apostle is saying to his listeners, his audience, the very warning that Demas would not hear and did not hear, and the warnings that Jesus gave, do not love the world or the things in the world. Don't allow them to control your life. Because if they do, you're not going to fulfill the will of God. Did not Jesus say in Matthew chapter 7, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. But Jesus said, we must do the will of the Father. And the first part of doing the will of the Father, I think, is found in John 7:17. And that is to believe on the Lord, to believe that He is who He claimed to be. But there are many people who will choose the world over the world to come. I've often wondered, will there be more people in hell than in heaven? You don't hear much about hell anymore. I visit a lot of churches and different things like you do, and at least in preaching and sermons. You don't hear much about that anymore because that's for the old people. You know? I mean, for us who grew up when that was a part of the gospel. Yes, sir. Yeah, right, Joe. And we don't want to offend anybody. I even have heard from credible sources, and I won't mention a church not too terribly far away, that they stopped reading and singing the songs about Are You Washed in the Blood, which we sang earlier, that he told the pianist and the other people, I guess the music director, don't be singing those songs. We don't want to offend anybody. I am dead serious. And I would walk out of that. I couldn't walk out fast enough if I was in a place that did something like that. Because you have no gospel without the blood of Jesus. You have no gospel without the truth of what Scripture says. Well, Demas, for whatever reason, whatever he had learned, and he may have been a good Bible student, he may have been faithful in church and gave and all those things, but he forsook the Lord. He forsook God's will for his life. Then let's note Luke. You remember Dr. Luke? He was a medical doctor. And what two books in the Bible did Luke write? Which ones? Gospel of Luke and Acts. Yeah, they're really one book, continuous book. And very extensive in his work and writings. And Paul says that Luke remained with him. So remaining in the faith, you remember what John the Apostle said in 1 John 2:19? They went from us because they were not of us. You know, if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they left us to manifest they weren't really at all a part of us. Now, only the Lord knows who's saved and who isn't. You know, I try not to, I don't know who's saved and who isn't. I'm concerned about me, see, more. But we are to be concerned for others, but only God knows the heart and the spiritual status of a person. But Luke gave all kinds of indication that he was regenerated. He was born again. He belonged to the Lord, and he was faithful to serve on the mission field and with Paul. And so this must have meant a lot to Paul. Have you ever had somebody to betray your trust, to turn against you? Sometimes it's our own loved one. Sometimes it's our best friend. Sometimes it's our dog, and they bite us. I heard a story about a little boy and had a dog next to him. The man said, "Hey, that's a cute little dog. Does your dog bite?" He said, "No." The man went to pet the dog, and the dog bit him. He said, "I thought your dog didn't bite." He said, "That's not my dog." John Mark, you remember who he is? What book did he write? Book of Mark, didn't he? Yeah, John Mark. Now, John Mark, I'm sorry. I didn't want to miss that wisdom there. John Mark, you remember who was the guy that Paul got into an argument with over John Mark? Barnabas. Boy, you guys, you don't need me here. You're good. That's true. And I think that's over in Acts. Well, it's in Acts. I won't say 13, but I'll have to double check. But, yeah, Barnabas. And Barnabas was an encourager, the son of consolation. And Paul, great. I mean, here's two great big pillars of the faith, and they fought over John Mark. I mean, can you imagine a fight over John Mark? The guy had to get on the ground and keep him getting hit. And I'm just teasing. I didn't want you to think that's in the Bible. John Mark forsook, and so Paul didn't really want to have much to do with him. But we see in our text that later on that Paul eventually welcomed John Mark back to work with him and said, "Bring John Mark with you." Look at verse 11 back at 2 Timothy chapter 4. "Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry." So Paul forgave him. You know, Paul wasn't right about everything. Did you know that? Yeah. He'd like the rest of us. That's right. And Paul wasn't a great apostle because of all of his education, although the Lord used that, and his philosophy and understanding of Greek language and so many things. But God selected and chose him and placed him with that position. And so you and I need to maintain self-worth, that we're valuable, not because we're not like Billy Graham or Corrie Ten Boom or somebody like that, Lottie Moon. They're all important, but they weren't who they were because they decided one day, "I want to be famous. I want to be Lottie Moon so I can start a mission cause." That's not how it worked. They were just faithful to God, and the Lord blessed them and used them for his divine purposes. And whether you're serving at Eastview or one of those churches that has 25,000 people, or you're serving him out in the desert, either way, you're very special to the Lord. And God will use you and expand and do accordingly as we're faithful to him. And so these folks, Luke and then Timothy, came back, and so they were reunited, and God began to use them even more. Now, you remember another guy here in verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith. Now, have you ever heard of copperhead? Now, what is that? A penny? A snake, isn't it? Well, here's the coppersmith. What did coppersmith do? You had blacksmith. This is a coppersmith. Yeah, he worked with the metal, didn't he? Yeah. Well, look at verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You know, when you're serving the Lord, it doesn't mean everything's going to work out hunky-dory. And we are going to have people that oppose the gospel. You know, we think we know people, but when you start sharing Jesus, that brings in conflict and sharing the gospel. We don't desire conflict, but Jesus said what? In John 16:33, in the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He also said, if the world hates me, the world's going to hate you. He even predicted that many Christians would be put to death. And so we should not be surprised. Well, here is one who Paul believed he was a friend, maybe even believed he was at one time possibly a convert. I don't know. But Alexander the coppersmith was mentioned. Now, why do you think Paul would mention the negatives here? Why would Paul mention these people in what may be considered the last weeks of his life? Well, it could be. Yeah. 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 Now, why would Paul mention such a thing in his, toward the end of his life? Okay. Yes, Brian. Okay. Okay. Of course, you might agree that if the person comes into the body of Christ and they're divisive and causing disruption in the body, then the church has a responsibility to confront that. But that's a real good point. Yeah, and Paul would call out names. And sometimes, nowadays you have to worry about lawsuits. I'm sure that even back then, but today especially, you better not say something bad about somebody or what they might interpret bad without being ready to defend with evidence and proof. But even then, today, you have to be careful. It might be very true, and the world rejoices that somebody is doing something wrong. But when you make it known and they don't like you, then they might threaten with a lawsuit or something like that. Have you ever noticed most people, when they disagree with us, it might be they just don't like us? It doesn't take a great genius to figure that part out. But if some people like you, you can say the sky is purple, and they'll probably try to agree with you because they like you, you know. And you're buying them a hamburger and a milkshake, and they'll agree about anything you say. Yes, you have a thought? Oh, I don't want to turn anybody away. God stood with Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Isn't it great that the Lord doesn't forsake us? Look at Deuteronomy 31:6. The book of Deuteronomy, isn't that somewhere in the Old Testament? What? Deuteronomy chapter 31, Matthew, Mark, and Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Who wishes to read that to us? Okay, now that's a promise in the Old Testament, reaffirmed in the New. Most of us would recognize that from the Hebrews chapter 13. That was taken from Deuteronomy 31:6. So it wasn't a new teaching. It was just reaffirmed. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that we're looking at, Paul is summing up now in verses 17 and 18. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. The Gentiles, the heathen, the pagans. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Of course, this was Roman period of domination, and Nero and different ones. The Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. Was Paul being arrogant here? He was sure that God would keep his promise. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That sounds like a song in the hymnal, doesn't it? It is, but it's also scripture out of Timothy as well. So we've talked about some of these characters. Let's talk about you. Look on your question sheet, if you would, please, and notice number one, can you name three people? You don't have to give their name, but do you know of three people that have impacted your life? If you wish to share, we'll give you a chance, one or two people, maybe three. Okay. You have three? Some of you might want to talk a little bit louder. I'm over 21 now, so. Okay. Now, why are these people important to you or to Mo? Okay. There's usually some interaction with the other person. It might be her parents. It might be her spouse. It might be her neighbor. But somewhere we crossed.
This is just recent history, but probably the three people that have been most helpful to me, especially with, you know, my marriage and stuff, is Kathy, Kelly, and Mark. It's amazing to me that God sent them to me to help in that sense, because apparently, at least with Kathy and Kelly, my personality is more like their husband.
Okay, thank you. Have you noticed that most of the time we think, and it's a good thing, the people that have impacted us are the people that did something good toward us. But what about somebody that takes a hammer and they throw it through your windshield and you can't get to work and you lose your job? Would that impact you? See, there you have pros, you know, the negative and the positive, and Paul mentions both. But most of us, and rightly so, we think of the people who have been good to us. They've showed interest in us, and they've done kind things or said kind things toward us. And chances are real good if you had more time. You'd probably name 40, 50 people that have impacted your life. Then two, of course, is the opposite. And that is not who we've impacted, or who's impacted us, or who we've impacted. Do you know of anybody that you believe that the Lord has used you to impact their life? Okay. And you made a big impression on them in a good way. And sometimes it may, your wife. And did it take more than 6 weeks? Okay. Sometimes it takes a lifetime, doesn't it?
Involved in their lives at church, you know, teaching Sunday school.
Well, you go to a restaurant today, and a lot of families, they sit down to eat, and before they eat, and even during the meal, they don't talk. They just play with their little toys. And so we're becoming a very distant society, even though we live within the range of each other. And so that can be a sad thing. I hope that we'll think about saying thank you to the people that have impacted our lives. And hopefully we'll hear a thank you from the people whom we've impacted their lives for the good. You know, thank you, Grace. You know, that makes me think how often we think that nobody out there has problems, just us. And, you know, we think that we're the only ones suffering, and we may very well be. And we don't play that down. That needs attention, and we need comfort, and we need encouragement and prayers. But very often the person that we think has it made, they may be going through all kinds of torture and suffering. It may be outward, it may be inward, or both. But we never know what other people are thinking or experiencing. And a lot of people are just a few minutes away from taking their own life because of so many problems and complexities. And but making good impacts on other people and then giving opportunity for them to impact us for the good can help extend our life, our health, our enjoyment, and also just the good things to thank the Lord about. And that's what number three is. We've talked a little bit about number four already. But you know, God puts people in our way very often. Have you ever noticed a lot of times when things happen, we think it's the worst time? My gosh, I'm trying to get to see the doctor. I've got to do this, I've got to do that, and here comes Miss Maggie knocking on the door with green beans. I don't have time to help her to break those green beans. You know, here comes Tom, and he needs to help putting on a water hose on his truck. My goodness, I've got places, you know, we never know. And we have to ask the Lord for wisdom of what to do. But very often, I believe, for the Christian, there are no such things as accidents. Accidents do not happen to Christians. Not in the natural world, but spiritually speaking, God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose, those who love the Lord and called. Romans 8:28, and then we always encourage people to read the rest of it that we usually leave out for some reason. God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And he sends people. Sometimes it's a stranger that it might be an angel sent from God. It may be someone the Lord has sent to test our faith, but also to allow us the experience of serving that person and helping them. Does that make sense? Sounds like something out of the Bible to me. Have we really taken out time to thank the Lord for the people that he's put in our life and we've impacted? Have you ever, let's be honest, don't say yes, you know, unless you're wanting, have you ever felt bad sometimes that you were so busy and so concerned about your own schedule that you turned somebody away that maybe the Lord sent for you to help? and we feel at the end of the day it's hard to go to sleep. Oh, Lord, I may never have that opportunity again. I am guilty. I have passed up opportunities that after I thought about it, I said, oh, dear Lord, I lost an opportunity there. It doesn't mean if you share the gospel, for example, or you help someone, that they're going to rise up spiritually and become a Christian. But we don't know. Our job is to obey the Lord, be faithful, and trust Him and leave the results to Him. But He gave us an opportunity to help. But, you know, we don't want to cry over spilled milk. We just trust the Lord that in His sovereign grace, He'll take care of those things. And then we go on and then pray daily, Lord, put people before me this week that I can share the gospel, that I can be a friend to that person. Not to use them as, oh, let's put another notch on the church roll so we can say we're the fastest growing church. Folks, that stuff isn't even, the Lord doesn't even think of that kind of thing. It's so horrible to use people for our glory. But it's to do what's right, and God will bless and helps that person spiritually. And then invite them to Sunday school or to God's house or whatever. And I would say, watching you, and I don't know many of you as I maybe would like, and others that can't be here, but chances are real high that you've done a lot of good things to help people. I'll almost bet you. I could walk around and probably pick out two or three of you. Your kind ways, your mannerisms, your words, your thoughts, the little things that you and I may not think about, holding the door open for somebody at their grocery store, or sharing a stamp, postage stamp with someone, the little things can make a big difference, and they add up, all in the name of the Lord. If you only had 24 hours to live, who would you like to make an impact on that they would, for Christ? What would you do if you only had, you knew for a fact in 24 hours the world was going to end or you were going to die? What emergency chains would you pull? Would you be on, say, Pastor, open up the church. I need to get to the altar. I wore the one out of the house. Or, Lord, help my car to start so I can go get right with my cousin, or whatever it might be. Talk to the Lord. Let's make it a daily practice, number 10, to ask the Lord to put others in our life, to impact them, and to show the character of Christ. May that be your prayer and my prayer tonight. Lord, help me to be a clean vessel, a good witness for your glory. Forgive me, Lord, where I failed. You know, I probably quote to myself multitudes of times a week, 1 John 1:9. You know that verse? If we confess, what it means to agree with God, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, righteous, to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, He died for all of our sins. And that established the relationship. But the fellowship must be maintained. The communion lines with us and the Lord before we can commune with people around us. And so that requires daily confession. And then leave those things. Once we confess it, the devil's going to remind us, oh, you did this, you messed up here. Just confess it to the Lord, believe His word, and go on, pick up where you left off. Too many of us live in the past, and we're held in bondage from something that happened a long time ago. But confess it and God will cleanse us. Any final thought before we close? Okay, well, you've been a great folks. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for helping us to read your word. Lord, there's so much more we could learn and study. And we thank you for Pastor Ballard and his teaching this on Wednesday evenings to feed the body of Christ that we might reflect Jesus. Thank you for your people here and others that could not be with us. Lord, help us to be thankful for the people you put before us. May we be conscious and aware and in tune and walk with you this week that we might be the sons and daughters of light, that we might reflect Christ and help them in their walk. and bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus we thank you. Amen.